It's a really interesting story, and it started out, well, I'm not going to share my whole story because that would be really long, but let's talk about the part where Jesus came along. And for me, life was good, okay? My father, he was a carpenter, and he had started a business, and as I got older, he trained me in the ways of carpentry as well, and so we kind of had a small business going, and my dad was really insistent on being honest with our customers, you know, being forthright, being faithful, not just to the customers and the community, but also very faithful to God. And through this faithful and hardworking father of mine, we were able to start a small business, and we were able to get a lot of work in the community because people were pleased to see how honest we were with them and how faithful and hardworking we were. And so we were doing quite well. And as my dad was kind of phasing out, I was kind of running the business a little bit more. And our business was good. Now, we're not rich by any means. The Romans make sure of that with all their taxes. I'm sure you guys have taxes as well. But the Romans, boy, they know how to tax people. If they're not killing people, they're taxing them. So we weren't rich by any sense of the word, but we were able to provide for our family and our loved ones. And so life is good. But it wasn't just good because of that. It was also very good because I was engaged to be married to a woman named Mary. Now, I need to take some time and explain some things here because I know your engagements are a little bit different than ours. So with our engagements, most of the time, there was either a matchmaker or our families got together and made the match together and organized our marriage when we were young. And they kind of arranged that marriage, and there were things that went along with that. There was a price that my family had to pay called the bridal price, because ultimately, when you think about it, when I'm taking a wife, her family is losing that help around the house and that work. And so my family would agree upon a price to pay to her family in order for me to obtain her as my wife. And then also her parents would set what was called a dowry. And it was things that would come along with her for us to start our new family. And so things like whether it's a clothing or wardrobe or dishes or even like the family heirlooms or whatever. And then so our parents set that as well. And so our parents worked these things out, and which was fine by us because we were, you know, we didn't care about those things. We just wanted to get married. And so as we were looking forward to marriage, there was a second step in the marriage process, which you could call our engagement, or also has been called the betrothal period, which is about a year long. And in this betrothal period, we're actually considered married, but we hadn't had the marriage ceremony yet. But we're legally considered married. And we don't do any of the family things yet. We're not living together, any of that sort of thing. But by law, we are engaged to be married and legally bound to each other. And so if somebody in our society was engaged and wanted to get out of it, they'd have to go through a formal divorce. You know, it kind of encouraged that once the family starts paying for things and getting the wedding ready, you know, don't want to back out now and make it a little more difficult or whatever. But that's how it was in our society. And so Mary and I were in this stage of betrothal engagement. We're in this one-year time period. And boy, was I excited. I mean, Mary was a great woman. She was loving. She was kind. She was gentle. She loved other people. She thought a lot about other people. And she was so faithful and humble before God. And she loved God. And that's what I liked about her most. And so as we're going through this betrothal, we're in the midst of this betrothal process. Life, for me, was good. I mean, I had a plan. We're in the middle of this year, and so I was going to try to work extra hard, you know, make some extra money, set some money aside. And so when the time came for the wedding and wanting to start a family, you know, I could take some time off there. I could slow down, and then we could start a family, and then I could continue to work the business. So I had it all planned out. And so during this year, I have been working extra hard to try to make a little extra money, get some more jobs done, and things like that. And everything was going according to plan. And then one day, news arrived that Mary's cousin, Elizabeth, was pregnant. which was actually quite amazing because Mary's cousin was very, well, not, she was advanced in years, I guess, is what you could say. She was kind of not in that childbearing time period anymore, and so news arrived from Elizabeth and Zechariah about how an angel had talked to Zechariah and said that that Elizabeth was going to have a baby, and it was going to be a special baby. And it really, I mean, all the talk around town was, boy, this sounds just like, you know, Abraham and Sarah. You know, they were barren for so long, and then God gave them a child. And so Mary was really excited about this, and so she decided to go visit because, of course, Mary, again, being a very loving and compassionate person, wanted to go spend time with her Aunt Elizabeth. And as I look back now, when she came and told me that she was going to visit Elizabeth, she did seem to be a little bit, I don't know, off. Something seemed to be bothering her, or there was something on her mind. And I just kind of assumed that, you know, it's the wedding planning and everything going on, and she's rushing out to help Elizabeth, which was, I thought, was great because, again, Elizabeth being old, you know, having to try to prepare for a baby coming, you know, would be kind of tough. And so Mary hurried off and stayed with Elizabeth, which, you know, for me, it was good and bad. You know, I miss Mary, but at that time, without Mary there to distract, you know, being distracting, and if you ever saw Mary, she was distracting. But I could get some extra work done around the shop and just work hard and work long days and get things done while she's off helping her cousin Elizabeth. And so she was there for about 3 or so months. And then word came back that Mary was back. And that's, you know, everything up to this point I had thought was going great. Everything was going just according to how I had it planned out. You know, things were, we were months away from our wedding, and I'd been working hard, and so the plan was going well. And Mary returned, and news came to my shop that Mary was back. So I decided I'd get up and go visit her. And so, but as I ran over to her house and I opened the door, her family just kind of all looked at me and just kind of stared. Like I'd never had to knock before. So I figured it wasn't because I didn't knock. But as I turned and looked at Mary, there was something obviously different about her. I mean, she was pregnant. I mean, it was, you know, I'm no medical doctor, okay? I'll admit this, but I'm pretty sure that pregnancy is not a contagious disease, okay? If it was, I would never have sent her to go visit her cousin Elizabeth, right? But all of a sudden, I was just stunned. I was shocked. And the only thing I could think of was to blurt out the question, are you pregnant? Which was already obvious. And she said, yes, but, and she continued to try to explain to me different things, but I, at that time, I was just in such shock, in such pain, because I know how people get pregnant, and I know what happened. How could she be unfaithful to me? She said she loved me, so I had to get out of there. I'll be honest with you. I had to get out of there. I had to have some time alone, so I hurried back to my shop, and a million questions going through my mind. You know, it's, how could she do this to me? I mean, is she not the person that I thought she was? You know, what other man has she been with? I mean, what about our wedding? What about the plan that I had? And so, back at my shop, you know, my mind going crazy, I just started to go through my options. I had different options. One option is that I could take her to court for being unfaithful to me. I could take her to court. And if she's found guilty, I mean, she could be put to death. Or she could just be publicly shamed and humiliated. And she would be an outcast. Her family would be looked down upon in the community. I couldn't do that to Mary. Even if I didn't do that, I still had the right, by our laws, to claim her dowry, the stuff that was supposed to come with her in our marriage. And I could divorce her, but I could keep the dowry. And I could sell that off, and just, if I wanted to, I could do whatever I wanted with that. But again, I couldn't do that. I still loved Mary. The thought of divorce, the thought of taking her to court, It was just so difficult. But on the other hand, if I don't divorce Mary, how will that make the community look toward us? I mean, it's like I would be saying that what she did was okay. Or worse yet, people might think that this was my child and we did something unlawful during our engagement period. And we could lose business. We could lose customers. I mean, faithfulness to God and faithfulness to the law was a huge deal in our community. I could lose my father's business, the thing that he worked so hard to build up, that trust to the community, that faithfulness to people and to God. If I didn't divorce her, I could lose all that. There was one other option. I could divorce her quietly, which simply meant that all I would have to do is write a note of divorce to her and present it to her in front of two or three witnesses. I'll let her go her way. If she can find somebody else to marry her, you know, if that guy's out there, I'll go on my way. I could do that. I thought long and hard about this. I had even decided that's what I'm going to do. And I wrote it out. And here I kept the paper just as a reminder. I want to read it to you. This is what I wrote. I wrote, I, Joseph, divorce and release of my own free will today, you, Mary, who had been my wife before this time. You are free on your part to go and become the wife of any Jewish man you wish. This is for you, a writ of release and a bill of divorce. At any time that you ask me, I will replace this document for you. And I had written that out. But at the same time, I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I still loved Mary. I didn't know what to do. Honestly, I went back and forth. And so I think I did what any man would do. I went to work, right? And so I went hard to work in the carpentry shop that night, cutting, sawing, hammering, working on projects, getting things done. And I tell you what, that night, I dropped more pieces of wood on my toes than I could ever remember before. By the way, I've heard of your steel-toed boots. That's a great idea. I wish I would have had some steel-toed boots in my day because it would have saved me a lot of pain. But I dropped a lot of wood on my toes that night. I smashed my thumb trying to hammer more times than I could think because I was just so distracted. But the pain that I felt in my thumb and the pain that I felt in my foot couldn't compare to the pain that I felt inside of me. I mean, I was a man, okay? I could handle the physical pain in my thumb, the physical pain in my foot. I could take care of that. I could handle that. I could go with that. But what I felt inside, the betrayal, the unfaithfulness, the just complete, I thought I knew this woman. That pain, I didn't know what to do with that pain. And so for hours, I worked that night just on all sorts of things. And I don't think any of them turned out good or how they were supposed to turn out anyway. But finally, after hours of work, late into the night, I was exhausted. And I decided to lay down and try to go to sleep. I was staring at the ceiling for I don't know how long. Finally, I was able to doze off and go to sleep. And boy, am I glad that I did. Because I had the most incredible dream. It was far better than the one with when I had a pet tiger. Far better than the one when I won the Carpenter of the Year award. I mean, this dream was by far the greatest dream I had ever had. And so in this dream, an angel from God came to me. Now you have to understand that as a Jewish people, we hadn't heard from God, prophet, angel, anything for nearly 400 years. And so it was startling, even in a dream. I was startled, but the angel came to me. And I remember specifically what this angel said. He said, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For what is conceived in her has been conceived of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will save his people from their sins. I mean, what an amazing dream. I woke up the next morning, and I can't even explain to you the burden that was gone. All that pain, everything inside that I was going through was gone. Here, God had a plan for me, and Mary was not unfaithful to me. She was not unfaithful to her commitment to me. And so I ran over to Mary. Well, first of all, I washed up as best I could because working so hard last night, I smelled pretty bad. So I washed up as best I could, and I ran over to Mary's house. And when I got in the door, I sat her down, and I explained to her what had happened. I explained to her about the angel and what the angel had said to me. And she, in turn, explained to me what she tried to explain to me when I ran out the door the other day, about how an angel had come to her and spoken to her. And she was telling me everything that the angel said. She remembered it, like, word for word. And she was telling me all about the feelings and emotions that came with it. And she being a woman, there were a lot of feelings and emotions that came with it. So we talked for a while, and it was just a great time. And so we decided to continue on with our wedding. And we went through with the wedding. And as you know, the rest of the story, that she did have a son. And we called his name Jesus. And just on a side note, Matthew there, in the book of Matthew, when you guys read that, I think Matthew didn't quite give me enough credit, because he said he took Mary as his wife and knew her not until she gave birth to a son. Okay, I got about a half verse there, but if you can imagine marrying the girl of your dreams and then having to lay next to her for months until the baby comes along. Okay, it's I'm just saying, it was. I could have gotten a little more credit for that there, but God was faithful, and Matthew was faithful to do what God had him write. And so it was the amazing story of Jesus, that Jesus came along, and I wish I had time to tell you guys about all the other things that happened. I mean, when it rains, it pours, right? So shortly after our wedding, Caesar decided, hey, more taxes. You know, here we go again. But this time I had to go back to Bethlehem and register with my family. And so I'm thinking on the way there, I'm like, we got to hurry up and get there because it's easier to pay for two people on taxes rather than three people on taxes, right? I mean, that's the way us guys think. But if you're doing a 70-mile hike, hurry up, honey, to a pregnant woman is not the best thing to say. I'm just telling you right now. And so how we had to rush to Bethlehem, and we got there, it was crowded, there was no room. And then the baby came, the shepherds, and years later the wise men, and then having to go to Egypt. I mean, I wish I could tell you all the stories, but I don't have the time today. So what I want to do is just share with you a few things that I learned from this process and leave you with that here today. First of all, never hammer when you're angry, okay? It doesn't work. So just to get that aside. But secondly, and most importantly, we're going to have plans. We're going to make plans. We're going to set things up and plan things out. God is going to interfere with our plans. You guys celebrating Christmas this week, this coming week, you know, over this next week, you probably have everything planned out to a T. You know, what, you know, the shopping, the family get-togethers, getting together with friends, all the gifts, and the food that needs to be made and all that stuff. And you guys have plans made out. But I just want to encourage you and warn you, at some time this week, most likely, God is going to interfere with your plans. And I just want to be here to encourage you to say, go for it. Go with it. See what God is doing. Yes, as you go through your plans this week, yeah, see what God is doing for you through your plans. But when those plans get interrupted, see what God is doing in his plans. Because I can guarantee you that no matter how well you have things planned out, I thought I had things planned out great. No matter how well you plan things out, God's plan is always better. So when he comes to you and says, let's do this a little different, see what God's doing, because it's always for your good and for his glory. And so I just want to share that with you today. In a moment, we'll close in prayer. But I want to thank you guys for listening to my story and just listening to my encouragement And I hope this week, as you celebrate the coming of Jesus, our King, that you look for God's plans and what he's trying to do in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for just the story of Joseph. Lord, how difficult his situation was. But God, how faithful you were to him, how faithful you were to Mary, Lord, and how faithful you were to us in bringing Jesus, your Son, to be born a human, a frail human. Lord, the Creator becoming the creature is just, it's hard to understand, but we thank you for doing that, all for our sakes, all to save us from our sins and to give you the glory. So, Father, I just thank you for these things. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one more song, but before